You're listening to Waroni Radio, the voice of students at the ANU.
Welcome to It's Eurovision here on Waroni Radio. I'm Nat.
And I'm Sam.
And we are so excited for today's episode.
Yes, we're so, so excited. This episode is all about a legend of Australian Eurovision, Dami Im. In the most exciting of exciting news, we got the chance to interview Dami this morning to promote her upcoming Canberra show on Friday, the 23rd of July. Tickets are still available on the Canberra Theatre website, which we'll link on our Facebook page.
Now, before we get to the interview, let's remind ourselves of the achievements of this incredibly impressive woman. So Dami won X Factor. She is Eurovision royalty, coming second in 2016. Her Eurovision song Sound of Silence charted in 38 countries. Dami has had 4 top 10 albums on the ARIA chart and further hit singles with the likes of Alive, Superlove and Gladiator. Without further ado, here is our interview with Dami on It's Eurovision on Waroni Radio. Dami, thank you for joining us here today on It's Eurovision. First of all, how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm really good, really good. Great to chat with you guys.
Oh, well, we're a show here that's all about Eurovision, so we're so excited to have you on as our guest this morning. And we're very excited to see you in concert as well in Canberra.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be coming over tomorrow.
Yes, so after a crazy 18 months, what has it been like to be back performing in front of live audiences?
You know, so many of my show dates have been cancelled or rescheduled because of COVID. It's been really hard and annoying and frustrating and all of that. I'm actually finally playing in Canberra and be able to kick off my tour. So I'm super, super excited to do that.
Yeah, it's really interesting just kind of like how much we've all missed live music, and I'm so excited that this is one of the first concerts that I'm seeing live again. So do you think COVID has changed how you approach your music or this tour?
Well, I think COVID's definitely made me appreciate it a lot more, you know, not take things for granted, you know, and really, like, I look forward to doing shows, but I've never been so kind of excited and, you know, really sort of counting down to the day of doing a show. It's kind of made me feel more appreciative and reignited the kind of that pure passion for it. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting to hear.
Yes, your new single Lonely Cactus was written during COVID. Can you tell us a bit about the songwriting process and what that was like?
Yeah, so I wrote Lonely Cactus during, I think, end of last year, actually, where, you know, 2020 had so much time locking down in Brisbane, and I was feeling a bit, you know, lonely, and I wanted to, you know, socialize again, and you know, I can't wait to have people back at my house and have, you know, a dinner party or something. And then finally, when I got to actually invite people again, I was going, when are they going to go back home? So it was like being lonely, but also being a prickly cactus around other people and wanting to be alone. So that's kind of what the song is about. And yeah, I thought it was like a sort of a joke at the start, but then it actually became this tune that I was really enjoying, and I really loved it. So like, oh wow, you know, I took it to Andrew Wanabove, his this incredible producer, and you know, so we actually finished it and wrote it over Zoom. So yeah, that was really different for me. Not like I've never done that before, this song. So to have actually finished the song through Zoom and then actually released it into the world, that's been a really cool experience.
Did you find that doing it over Zoom made you like, did you find that it was sort of a bit difficult to like connect in the same way with the other, you know, members of your creative team?
Yeah, you know, like I was worried about it at first, but then it kind of like it's got its pros and cons, but there were a lot of positives where I felt less sort of self-conscious about myself, because it's just a screen, you know, and if I wanted to sort of go away and kind of make some coffee and have my space for a few minutes, then I could do that. Whereas, you know, like where if you're in with other people, then there's that added social anxiety, which I definitely have a bit of. So, yeah, it kind of, yeah, it worked out for me. I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, yeah, we did have the question as to whether or not you'd become obsessed with like succulents, you know, over isolation, like many of us did, and if that inspired the metaphor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's where it sparked that metaphor, because I was given a cactus for my birthday present by my manager and I named him Mr. Pickles, and that was my my pet cactus. And, you know, I was staring at it, and I think that's where it came from, the whole title and the whole song, basically. And, yeah, like, since then I've been getting into plants, and, like, I'm known for killing plants, but now I've become this, like, full-on gardener, and I grow my own vegetables, and it's the best thing ever. Everyone should do it.
Yeah,
the surprising things that sort of come out of the last, you know, year and a bit. Yeah. So we do have to ask.
Yeah, so weird.
So this tour is focused on providing a more sort of like special and intimate performance with storytelling and stripped back arrangements of your songs. So what's inspired you to create a tour like this?
So I've always been the most comfortable when I'm sitting at the piano and singing, and I guess with COVID, it kind of gave me a really good excuse to do a tour like that, where it's just me at the piano and I do rearrangements of all my songs and, yeah, just perform it super intimately like that. And I've always wanted to do something like it, but I just didn't think, or I didn't know when that was actually going to happen. And then 2020, bam, it's like, oh, it's my excuse to do something this way. And so the tour was meant to start in beginning of July, and all the shows have been cancelled except this Canberra one. So yeah, you guys will be the guinea pigs.
We're very lucky.
Yes lucky us.
We'll see if you're lucky or unlucky.
So you've had to like rearrange some of your songs for this tour. What was that process like?
It's been fun, like, because I write most of my songs at the piano before it gets all produced up. So it was almost like taking it back to how it started, but also incorporating the sounds of the production as well, so that there's that, you know, element that people are familiar with. So yeah, it's been really interesting, like trying to strip it back but still make it interesting, and then making it more suitable for the piano without all the crazy production and the beat. So it's been a fun challenge for me.
Yeah, and I suppose what you were sort of saying before, like COVID's given us this opportunity throughout like all areas of our lives, I guess, to bring things back to, you know, like a more basic level.
Yeah, that's it. And really just, I guess, that's very deep and meaningful, but it's like thinking of what's the core of this, you know, and yeah, well, what can I lose in this song and still make it sound nice? Like what's the minimum amount of music that it needs for it to still sound interesting? So I think, yeah, like COVID forced us to think about that in our lives as well. So
yeah,
deep.
And sort of pivoting to a couple of Eurovision questions quickly that have been sent in from our audience and the Dummy Army here at campus. So we all absolutely love the song Paper Dragons. And before COVID threw everything off schedule, this was meant to be the song you entered into the 2021 Eurovision final. What about this song do you think would have made it a great Eurovision song?
I just really like the quirkiness of it. The fact that it's called Paper Dragon was like, yeah, this is a definite Eurovision song. And the fact that it's a real power anthem, you know, and it's super positive. It's got a bit of grit and a little bit of like sassy energy, but also super positive. And yeah, like I just thought it was a super great option for a Eurovision song, which, yeah, I mean, even though it didn't happen, I really like the song.
Yeah, and a contrast to Sound of Silence, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's true, because, yeah, Sound of Silence, power ballad, and then, you know, people expect another power ballad, but then this one's got, you know, it's a totally different, you know, it's a faster pace and it's just different, yeah. So all of those things were pointing at, you know, towards that song going, yeah, this will be a strong option for Eurovision. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
And from like the concept photos that you put out, and just like when you listen to the song, you know, you can almost picture that kind of the sort of staging opportunities you would have had with that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were just starting to sort of picture what could have been the performance and the staging. But yeah, it didn't really get too far to that stage before everything collapsed down. But yeah. You guys have been following, you guys are massive fans, so you would know everything, the ins and outs.
But, yeah, that's right. We followed your journey.
Yeah.
Even before you're on Eurovision and X Factor as well. And yeah, we know a lot about Eurovision as well. But we're big fans of you too, of course.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. What kind of songs do you guys think... I don't know, what if I did Eurovision again, what kind of song would you want me to be singing?
Oh gosh.
My favorite song of yours is actually Gladiator. I thought it had a really good message. And I love the sort of music video that you did of it. If you could sort of reproduce that production wise on the Eurovision stage, a song like that, I think it'd be really cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate your thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also thought it was a bit different to Sound of Silence, because Sound of Silence, I thought, was a very sort of intense song, but Gladiator, like something like And Paper Dragon, is a more uplifting song, I think.
Uplifting and not as serious.
Yes, but I actually love Sound of Silence, just saying. It's one of my all-time favourite Eurovision songs. So I think, to be honest, you should do what you want. You think is best, to be honest. Yeah.
Got fantastic.
Yeah, no, but it's always, hey?
Got fantastic judgment to follow.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, it's interesting to hear from, you know, Eurovision super fans, and, you know, you guys know your Eurovision. So yeah, always good to hear from you guys.
So a student has sent another question. So from one immigrant to a fellow immigrant, what was it like to represent Australia as an Asian Australian, especially in a Eurocentric competition? What better way to see Australia represented than with cultural diversity?
I am Asian, so I'm not sure how I would answer the question, but I do remember at the time feeling like, wow, this is really weird being at Eurovision representing Australia, which is already, it just sounds funny, but then I'm like Asian and I'm, you know, it's just, everything was just really funny, but it was also super cool because Australia is very diverse and we have so many, it's a big melting pot of cultures and different ethnicities, so you know, I feel super proud that I got to be the face of Australia as an immigrant and as an Asian. So yeah, like Australia is much closer to Asia than anywhere else, so I don't know, I have a lot of Asian pride and I know lots of other immigrants have been, you know, feeling seen because of me doing stuff in the mainstream media, so I feel very honored and proud to be doing that.
Yeah,
Well, we feel absolutely honoured that you represented Australia and brought your fantastic talent to the world. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, of course, the Dummy Army got in touch to ask how your new album is coming along and whether there's any updates on that front.
Oh, yes. I have been working many hours on my album, especially while so many shows have been cancelled. So, yeah, it's been good. I've been focusing on making music and finishing the album off, so you will hear from me very soon. It'll be not long to go, a few months maybe. It'll be out.
Oh, well, something fantastic to look forward to.
Yes. And
yes.
Yeah. And of course, the big question is, would you still like to go back to Eurovision? Do you think we can see you in Australia decides if it starts up again?
Yeah, like last time I decided to come back, it was a big decision and I had to think hard and deep about coming back, and I threw my hat in the ring and then it didn't happen. So, you know, it's like I'm going to have to go through that decision process again before I can really make my mind up about doing it again, because it's a big commitment, you know. And having done it once, I know that it takes up your life, you know, months of your life. You just have to focus on that one thing, the 3-minute performance. And it's, you know, it's fun, but it's also incredibly intense. So I'd have to really think about what I want to do with my life at this point in time.
Well, regardless, whether you're on the Eurovision stage or we're seeing you touring around Australia, thank you so much for, everything you've done for Australia at Eurovision and for, the music industry here. And final question is that, Dummy, you have a significant following within the Australian National University and the wider Canberra community. Is there a message or something you have to say to your followers out there who are tuning in now?
I'd just say thank you so much for listening to me ramble. I can't wait to come into Canberra to perform, because it's probably the only show in the next couple of months. Just stay safe and have fun. You're so lame.
No, all good.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and we're very excited to come and see you at the show.
Yeah, thanks guys for the chat. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye. Wow, how exciting was that? And that was Dummy M speaking to us here on Moroni Radio.
Gosh. Oh gosh, what a moment for us, Sam. What a moment.
I know, what a moment. Three hardworking years here already. We've scored an interview with Dummy M. But no, on a serious note though, it's an incredible honor for me. Thank you for organizing this, Nat and Sam Moroni Radio.
Thank you to our production team that works so hard on organizing this for us, and all the tech and just all of those behind the scene things that actually made this possible.
Yes.
We had the fun bit.
We did. We had the fun bit. I mean, Dummy is, I'm not just saying this, she's actually my favorite Australian musician. I've followed her journey ever since X Factor, and she's been such an inspiration to me. I didn't manage to convey that on the call because I was just so nervous talking to her. But it was such a dream come true, I think. So yeah, something I'll definitely remember for the rest of my life. That sounds cheesy, doesn't it?
But... Oh no, but it's true. It's true. This was a big deal and a great experience. So very excited that we got to chat to her, and very excited that we're going to her concert tomorrow. So quick reminder, there are tickets still available for her Canberra show on Friday the 23rd of July tomorrow. Yes. And you can find tickets on the Canberra Theatre website.
You're listening to Moroni Radio, the voice of students at the ANU